Hey, how about it, race fans? Richard Allen of InsideDirtRacing.com and InsideCircleTrack.com coming at you with another edition of the Weekend Podium. My little wrap-up of what I consider to be the top three biggest stories of the racing weekend. And this weekend, I'm going to be looking at the weekend of January the 7th and the 8th, 2022, now that we've flipped the calendar over away from 2021. I've taken a few weekends off from doing these because there just simply wasn't enough going on to warrant having one. But now we're kind of back in action. It looks like the dirt racing season is back underway with what little off season there is. Now we're back at it again. So here are the three events that I consider to be the biggest things to go on in this past racing weekend. And first, I'm going to talk about Michael Page winning the Ice Bowl down at Talladega Short Track down in Alabama. That was the sixth win in a row in the Ice Bowl and the super late model portion of the Ice Bowl for Michael Page. And that's a pretty remarkable feat if you think about it. As competitive as the super late model division is nowadays, to win six in a row of anything is a pretty spectacular thing to do. It's hard to imagine getting through any race six consecutive times without something happening, whether a mechanical issue, an accident, a flat tire, whatever it might be to happen. But Page has managed to do that. Now, in his post-race interview, one of the things he talked about was how well he and his Stinger race car seem to have adapted to the Talladega short track. But also at the same time, he did bring up luck as one of the contributing factors. And you have to think about, you know, six consecutive wins. There has to be some luck mixed in there as well. So Michael Page, the number one story of the weekend, getting $6,000 for winning the Ice Bowl super late model feature. And another noteworthy thing about that, I'm sure you probably know by now, but there was a $1,500 bounty on him if anybody else had won the race and Page had finished on the lead lap. Any other driver would have picked up a $1,500 bonus, but he was able to fight back the bounty hunters and go ahead and add his sixth consecutive win in that race. And now that win brings me to the second thing I was going to talk about, my second issue. Page's win did come with a little bit of controversy. As you probably know, or certainly if you've read the stories, the post-race stories on InsideDirtRacing.com, you would know that it took three attempts to actually get that race started, as they had incidents three separate times before they completed a lap. Now, as it turns out, Page himself, who started fourth in the race, was actually involved in two of those three mishaps. And in the second attempt at a restart in particular, he and Pierce McCarter, who had started just in front of him up on the front row, got together. Both cars had pretty hard contact. Page's car went up in the air and kind of actually landed back down on the top of McCarter's car, which both of them got some damage from it. In Page's case, he pulled up after the incident was over, had the officials from the Ironman late model series were officiating that race and had one of their officials just pull some sheet metal off a tire. McCarter, on the other hand, who won the hangover at 411 Motor Speedway back on January the 1st, he was unable to continue. But the issue that has come up, and in the third attempt at a start, I should mention there was a little contact between Page, who was now on the front row after being given his spot back. There was a little contact between him and pole sitter Austin Horton, which sent Page spinning, and then there were some other cars that piled in as well. The issue has been that as a number of people on social media have spoken out that Page should have been put at the tail of the field. He should not have been given his spot back. I can tell you, I've attended many, many drivers' meetings, and it's almost always brought up that if there's an incident that occurs before a lap has been completed and it's a multi-car incident, then everybody will be given their spot back and they'll just do an entirely new start. That it's not it's not anybody being sent to the tail, unless, of course, one of those cars involved has to go to the pits to change a tire, to work on something, to the attention of their crew. But otherwise, it's just a complete restart if a lap wasn't completed. And in all three of those attempts, a lap was never completed. Now, I could understand from the other side, from the other point of view, that, you know, and many times when you're watching a race and a caution comes out, race director calls the caution on a particular car, particular driver, and sends that car driver to the tail. But that's only after a lap has been completed, as I understand it, because, and in this case, again, like I said, in every driver's meeting, virtually every driver's meeting I've ever been to, they point out that if we don't get a lap completed on the initial start, then we just go back and do a complete restart. So I'm a little bit confused as to why there's so much, I guess, confusion about that, because it seems like that's always been the rule, as long as a lap hasn't been completed. So I don't know, maybe that's not the case, but it has been in the years that I've been going to dirt races. Now, like I said, there is the feeling that had a guy to cause a caution and he wound up getting his spot back. So in other words, he just kind of got away with causing a caution for free. And if there was malicious intent on the part of the driver who'd caused the caution, I'd certainly understand that. But I don't believe that was the case in here. It's just, it's just a racing deal. As far as I could tell, you know, I'm not sitting in the seat of either one of those cars. I can understand if you're on, say, Pierce McCarter's side of the issue, you'd certainly be upset. And Paige, after the race was over, was upset as well, because, you know, he apologized to McCarter after the race. That doesn't do McCarter any good, but still, I can understand both sides. But I believe the way I understand the rule is it was enforced the way the rule's written. There's not really an interpretation in it on an initial start incident. It's just, if there's multiple cars involved, then we just go back and do a complete restart. So anyway, that's my view on that. And then the third thing I'm going to talk about was in the Wild West Shootout, which is taking place at the Votto Speedway in New Mexico. Brandon Shepard won, which is really not a surprise to anybody. Now, he wasn't driving the Rocket House car. He's driving his family's B5 Rocket car, which is a brand new car, as he pointed out in the post-race interview. But I guess the entertaining part of it came in the post-race interview. You know, Shepard's interviews are typically pretty scripted. You know, he mentions family members and crew members and all that who he wants to thank. And then he's quite good at having the sponsors all memorized, and he clicks those off and, you know, just gives a few somewhat benign race comments, and that's usually it. But he was kind of following that same pattern that he normally does. And then all of a sudden at the very end, he kind of throws in a mention to the crew of Stormy Scott, saying, "I want to thank those guys for taking pictures of my car. There must have been something they were really interested in, because they sure were taking a lot of pictures." You know, and if you've been in dirt late model pit areas, taking pictures of race cars, especially from the back or something like that, typically something that's frowned on. It's why they've got so many skirts and things like that covering up the backs of the cars. So when they're sitting out there on the grid, you know, obviously there's nothing to cover them, and they're kind of free to have photos taken. And apparently Shepard felt like another crew was maybe inappropriately taking some pictures of his car. But what really interesting about that, of course, Shepard drives that Rocket House car most of the time, and then his family owned car's a Rocket as well. And Stormy Scott is a Longhorn chassis pilot, and last year, of course, Longhorn grabbed an awful lot of the headlines by winning big races. Tim McCready won the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series Championship in a Longhorn. Jonathan Davenport won several big races in a Longhorn. Of course, Brandon Overton just had those almost a complete sweep of all those big races at Eldora, as well as picking up a few other big paychecks as well. So, the rivalry between Rocket and Longhorn is real. They definitely want to beat each other. And Shepard maybe took a little bit of exception that there was a Longhorn crew that was paying so much attention to the back of his car. So that made it interesting. And if you want to read about any of those stories, any of those topics I talk about, there's individual stories all posted on InsideDirtRacing.com. And also, like, if you like to check in on NASCAR from time to time, got some stuff posted on InsideCircleTrack.com as well. So make sure and check out both those. And Michael Motes and I, who co-own both of those sites, we really appreciate everyone taking the time to look at our stuff, and I appreciate you taking the time to give this a listen. That'll be it for this edition of the Weekend Podium. So again, we covered Michael Page's 6th consecutive Ice Bowl win, and then also the little bit of controversy involved in all the starts and restarts of that super late model feature there. And then we also talked about Brandon Shepard and his mention of another crew taking pictures of his car. So I appreciate you giving the time to give it a listen. And I will talk to you again. Until then, it's Richard Allen of InsideDirtRacing.com and InsideCircleTrack.com saying we'll see you at the track.